But you can't do what I've done for 22 years and been through what I've been through and not know a little something about it. And experience and working with people in every situation imaginable is some teacher. And tonight, I want to talk about our marriages a little bit. And all of us who are married would like to have a better marriage, I'm sure, a better home, more godly home. I'm sure all you husbands would like to have a better wife. All you wives would like to have a better husband. Maybe you feel like your mate is perfect. That's great. That's great. Amen. That's the way you ought to feel. But I want to tell you something by way of introduction tonight. Everybody listening? I want to tell you something. You listening, Brother Danny, real good right now. Don't matter who you're married to, you're going to have to get your satisfaction from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're married, not married, rich, poor, single, white, black, little, big. Satisfaction comes from Jesus Christ. You say, boy, if I just had old so-and-so or somebody like that, you still wouldn't be happy if you're not right with the Lord in your heart. I meet people all the time. Well, I'm miserable. I'm not happy. And we all get like that once in a while. And if you'll check, most of the time, it's something between you and the Lord. Not always, but most of the time. If you get happy with the Lord, you can usually be happy with that person that the Lord gave you. Somebody gave this as a recipe for a happy marriage. If you're going to cook one, here it is. 1 cup of consideration. 2 cups full of human kindness. 1 gallon of faith in God and in each other. 2 cups of praise. A reasonable budget with a generous dash of cooperation. 1 cup of contentment. 3 teaspoons of pure extract of I am sorry. 1 cup of confidence and encouragement. 1 cup of blindness to the other's fault. Flavor with frequent portions of recreation and a dash of happy memories. Stir well and remove any specks of jealousy, temper, or criticism. Sweeten well with generous portions of love and keep warm with a steady flame of devotion. Never serve with a cold shoulder or a hot tongue. Somebody else said to husband and wife, preserve the privacies of your own house, marriage state, and your heart. Let no father or mother or sister or brother ever presume to come between you and or share the joys of sorrow that belong to you and you two alone. With mutual help, build your quiet well, not allowing your dearest earthly friend to be the confidant of all that concerns your domestic peace. Let moments of alienation be healed at once. I won't say anything more important, and if you paid $35 an hour for a marriage counselor, he couldn't tell you anything any better than what I just said. Let moments of alienation be healed at once. You know what causes marriages to mess up? We get a little something against each other, and instead of forgiving and forgetting and getting it over with, we start holding a grudge. Or building a case, as I call it. You start building a case. Okay, that's 1. Okay, that's 2. Okay, that's 3. Okay, and a week later, it all goes pow right out on them. And you say, man, did you get that mad at me for that? No, it's for week before last, and week before last, and week before last, and week before last. You ought to make up your mind every day to forgive your husband or your wife of everything they've done that hurt you and made you mad. Wouldn't that be a blessing? You say, well, I don't want to do that. You think God ought to do it for you. If God can do it for us, we can do it for each other. What if every husband and wife in here tonight just said, okay, I'm wiping the slate clean. We're making a fresh start right here tonight. clean slate. I do not hold one thing against you. You know what? Y'all could walk out of here, everyone of us holding hands. And first on the way home, boy, you know, did you ever notice now, I seen somebody going down the road the other day, and somebody said, boy, look at them. There was a boy and girl all hugged up like that. And I said, there's one thing for sure, you know they ain't married. It ought not to be that way. You know what's wrong with our country? Married people are acting like single people. And single people are acting like married people. Amen? We let the world steal the joys that we should be having as Christians, and we're acting like nuns and priests supposed to act. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. I'm not an expert, but I sure can tell you a few things here from the Word of God, and I'll give them to you quickly. 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You ladies don't have a bit of trouble obeying your boss man. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Can I get you some coffee, sir? Is there anything you need, sir? And yet you come home and bite your husband's head off as soon as you walk in the door. If you can be nice to Mr. So-and-so, you can be nice to your husband. Amen? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, men, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's our job. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That means you're supposed to love your wife ahead of yourself. And some of you guys would get a divorce from yourself. You might be able to love your wife like you're supposed to. Verse 27. That he might present it unto himself, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Good. Now that's a strong word there. Somebody said this. I'm going to talk to the women first. That way you won't. No, I'm not. I'm going to talk to men first. That way you won't think I'm prejudiced, you know, jumping on the women or something like that. Marriage is suffering in our day and time. You understand that? The devil's after everyone he can get. Our job is knowing how to keep the honey in the honeymoon. I say after you've been married a year, your favorite three words are, I love you. After 10 years, your favorite three words are, let's eat out. And something changes in between there. It goes different. I don't know what happens. But our attitude changed. Our words changed. And some of them don't take 10 years to get there. So let's realize tonight that our church is no more stronger than our homes. And let's talk to your husbands here a little bit. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to tell you the right way and the wrong way to be a husband. Then I'm going to tell you the right way and the wrong way to be a wife. All right? The right way and the wrong way to be a husband. Somebody wrote this. Tell her so. Amid the cares of married life, in spite of toil and business strife, if you value your sweet wife, tell her so. Prove to her you don't forget the bond to which your seal is set. She's life's sweet of the sweetest yet. Tell her so. When days are dark and deeply blue, she has her trouble, same as you. Show her that your love is true. Tell her so. Never let her heart grow cold, let your beauties will unfold. She is worth her weight in gold. Tell her so. Now, as husbands, we need to tell our wives. Like that one fellow, they said that one old guy, he went to a marriage counselor, and his wife said, he don't never tell me that he loves me. And the marriage counselor said, is that true, sir? He said, how long have y'all been married? He said, 15 years. He said, and it's true you don't ever tell your wife you love her? He said, I told her when we got married, if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. That's what a man thinks. I told you I loved you. If I ever change my mind, I'll tell you. But that ain't the way a woman thinks. They got to hear it over and over and over and over and over. Now, I'm going to tell you the wrong way to be a husband. The wrong way to be a husband is this. You have the authority, men, in your home, right? Amen? The man has the authority in your home. But it's easy, if you're not careful, to overstep your bounds. And I have known a lot of Christian men to twist and use the scripture about the husband being the head of the house just so they can play the big bully macho and they're full of the devil and just come in and say, oh boy, I get to rule it because I'm being right with God. If you got that attitude, you're not right with God. If that's only scripture you obey, you sure ain't right with God. Some men, they couldn't care less about the rest of scripture, but boy, they quote that in every day. Wives, obey me. Children, obey me. Well, some men are so unlike the Lord, it's very hard to submit to them. I know that. But I tell you what, that's the wrong way to be a husband. The Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Yeah, I want to say something to, this is just kind of scattered, but in the wrong way to be a husband, I want to say something to you mama's boys. You mama's boys that have to go to mama's every single day. You have to go see mama every day. And all you do when you come home is brag about mama's biscuits and mama's cooking and mama's ironing and mama's washing and mama's house is cleaning. Listen, the Bible said that a man should leave his father and mother. I see them already stirring up a little bit already. I can see it happening all over the place. But listen, man, leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh. I know guys that go by and see mama every day. There ain't nothing wrong with seeing your mama once in a while. But they go to see mama every day and then bust the wife out if she wants to go see her mama. Well, I'm going to go see mama. Well, y'all, you went over there last month. My goodness, man. Listen, that's the wrong way to be a husband. You let your wife go see her mama. It ain't going to kill you. Some guys, they think they can stay down all day and work, go to the store, go see old so-and-so, go trade coon dogs, go trade shotguns, go trade lawnmowers, and then get mad at the wife if she happens to be gone when they get home. Boy, it's quiet in here. You ladies better say amen. You won't get to it in a few minutes, so you better say it now. I don't see how come it's all right for you to gallivant all over creation and then fuss if you like. Let me say something. You guys need to get down here and ask God to get the devil out of you if you fuss about your wife going on bus route. Lord have mercy. I don't know why I said that. I was not planning on it. It just popped out. That amen had to get crutches to get up here where I can hear it. How come it's all right for you to go hunting? It's all right for you to, but no, I don't want you on that bus route. I want you home. But why? You're gone. Let her go do something for God a few hours a week. It ain't going to hurt you, you big jealous baby. Amen. Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. Amen. Honest to goodness, it just popped out, so somebody must have needed it. That's the wrong way to be a husband. His man one time told his wife, some of you men ever come home, and have you ever come home? I guess we've all been guilty of this. You come home and you look, and I said, boy, this house all right, and you look around and say, well, what'd you do all day? Has he ever done that to you girls? He hadn't? Well, thank God. That's good. Most of them have. What'd you do all day long? I heard about a man one time. He said, you don't have nothing to do. Stay home all day. You shouldn't complain. And so the man and woman traded jobs. She said, you do my job, I'll do your job. He said, okay. They swapped for a day. That day, that man stayed at home. He opened the door 106 times. He wrote it down. He hollered, stop, 172 times. Settled 17 quarrels, wiped 19 noses, answered 145 questions, lost temper 57 times, tied shoes 16 times, and was glad to see his wife when she got home that evening. And he said, honey, you come on back. I'll be happy to get up and go work my 8 hours in the morning. Amen? That's the wrong way to be a husband. Amen? I know, listen, fellas, I know they do some dumb things. But they're sweet, really, when they do it. Heard about that man took his wife fishing, and they was out there fishing, and she said, you're going to have to give me another cork. Mine keeps sinking. That's when you get to be the big macho man and say, "Here, baby, let me show you how to fix that." See, matter of fact, if you ladies are smart, you'll play dumb all the time. Because anything a man can't stand, it's a woman that's smarter than he is. Or thinks she is. And that's, I'll get to you girls in a minute. That's where you mess up. If you're really smarter than he is, you just act dumb, but plant it in his mind what you really want, and he'll wind up coming around doing it. But you can't. You got to let him think it's his idea. Because if you say, "Do that," he ain't never going to do it like that. Because men will die before they'll let a woman beat them out, you know, mentally. Amen. I don't understand y'all. Yeah, we have a crisis in some of these homes here tonight. Maybe y'all need to stay out there and pray. And what's the right way for a man to be a husband? Well, the Bible says, "Love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Assure her of your love." Write her a note, man. Get her a card. Send her flowers, whatever. Public and in private. Send men. Tell you, "I love you, honey, at home," but then when they get out in public, ignore their wife in front of the, quote, brethren. They wouldn't want the brethren to see them opening the door for her. They wouldn't want the brethren to see them because they're afraid the brethren will think they're henpecked. Well, I wouldn't worry about it. Just do what God wants you to. I mean, be good to her. Be good to her. Amen. There's a man come to church one time, and people stand up giving prayer requests. He said, "I want y'all to pray for me." He said, I love my wife too much. He said, "I feel like I put her ahead of everything. I love her too much." And somebody said, "Well, brother, the Bible said love your wife like Christ loved the church. Do you love her more than that?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, you don't love her too much then." Amen. You don't love your wife too much. Do you love her more than Jesus Christ loved the church? And no man loves his wife that much. Never, never pick on her. Pick on somebody your own gender. Had to change out there in the middle of the thing. She might be bigger than you. Pick on somebody your own gender, man. Man, hey, there is no excuse. And by the way, I want to say this. I was going to say it at the beginning, I forgot. Don't you pick out little parts of this sermon and ignore the other 90% and then save it to beat your wife or husband over the head with when a conflict comes up. Yeah, you remember what Brother Danny said? Yeah, but I'm saying a whole lot more, too. Don't you pick out one of them. He said you got to obey me. Yeah, but I also said you got to love her enough to die for her, too. Don't you quote part of this sermon to your wife without quoting all of it. There is never a reason for a man to mistreat his wife or slap her or grab her and throw her against the wall and treat her. That's a heathen. You ought to be locked up in jail if you do your wife like that. Amen. Y'all be ashamed. Somebody big and strong get hold of you one time and break your neck a time or two, you'd quit that junk. And there's not an excuse for a Christian man to act like that. You say, "Brother Danny, she gets in my face." I know what you mean. I mean, I know. I've seen people get so mad. I said, and you wives better watch it. You better watch that mouth, somebody. But listen, there's no excuse for it. There is no excuse for it. It's a devil that gets in a man that makes him mistreat his wife. And then you don't leave her neither. Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Jesus said, "I'll never leave you, church. I'll never forsake you." Every man in here tonight, you ought to make up your mind, "I'm never going to leave my wife." Divorce, not an option for a child of God or in a marriage in the will of God. Said, I asked old Bob Jones Sr. one time, been married, I think it's him, been married years and years and years. They said, "Preacher, you ever thought about divorce?" He said, "Never one time." They said, "Oh, come on, I don't believe that." He said, "You mean you ain't never even thought of divorce?" He said, "No, never. Murder, many times. But never divorce." That's the way it ought to be. Hey, man, I agree with that. I agree with that. Hear about that woman. One woman had a big ring. She said, "Oh, what a beautiful diamond." She said, "That is the famous Johnson diamond, and it comes with a curse." She said, "Really? Yeah. What is the curse?" "Mr. Johnson." Amen, brother. Amen. Well, what about you wives here tonight? Let's talk to you a little bit. Let's talk to you a little bit. You know what? Last time I preached that series and I preached on husbands and wives, I tried my best to be fair and preached two Sunday nights to nothing but the men. And the men said, boy, you got on us a little too heavy. And I still had some women said, all you did is preach the women. So I don't know if I'm going to please you or not. I'll try to please the Lord first and hope you like it. But wives, there's a wrong way to be a wife. And you sure ain't going to learn how to be no wife watching soap operas. Best thing you can do is never turn them soap operas on. Them things will pollute your mind. They'll make you want stuff that's impossible to have. And there ain't no life like them people got. And you wouldn't want it anyway. Thank God you don't have to live like that. Listen, in real life, he comes walking in the door. Hello, darling. You don't go around the house dressed up like that. Hey, how are you? Did you have a good day? Yes. Oh, it's good to see. And all of a sudden, the music starts playing. Did you know in real life, the music never starts playing? In real life, the phone rings. In real life, about the time you get ready to kiss her goodbye or hello or whatever, the baby comes in through the house, or screaming. Well, the kids scream out. That's real life. In real life, dogs start getting in a fight out in the yard. Something always happens in real life. In the movies, right at the right minute, the lights go dim. His face is turned this way so he can see his profile. Her face is turned this way so he can see her profile. Her hair is out like this. And the fire is always right behind them. And music starts playing. And that firelight hits her hair. And it looks like a glow around her head. You ever notice that? Well, that's a devil, man, making it look like, I don't have that. I'm going to go out and find it. I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find misery. You'll find disappointment. You'll find sorrow. You'll find heartache. Happiness is right in your backyard, lady, with your husband and your kids. But you go out there hunting it, you'll never find it. You get down the river, and the Bible says, be content with what you've got. You thank God and honor Him and do what's right. God will allow you to be happy. You may not have a perfect marriage, but you sure ain't going to get nowhere sinning. I'll tell you that. I said you sure ain't going to get nowhere sinning. Wrong way. Now let me talk, ladies, about the wrong way to be a wife. The wrong way to be a wife, one of the worst things you can do to your husband is nag him and fuss at him. If you want to turn a man off, fuss at him. That's the best way in the world to do it. You know why? Because men fall in love with a woman that makes them feel good about theirself. You know why? Because really men love theirself. That's their biggest hang-up. All men are selfish, and men fall in love if a woman comes up and say, oh, you can fix anything. You're so smart. You're so strong. Man says, I like you. Ain't that right? Sure. That's right, man. She happens to look decent. That helps a lot. And, I mean, if she looks pretty and brags on you, you think, man, I really like it. It ain't really her he likes. He likes the way she makes him feel about himself. Amen? So men fall in love with what they see. And how a woman makes them feel about herself, a woman falls in love with what she hears. And that's why, you see, I don't go to the Myrtle Beach and some other places like it, but I have been before, and you go to some of these beach places, and I've been in Florida, you see this beautiful lady walking down the street. I mean, looks like something on a magazine walking down through there. Looks like she's, one of these Hawaiians or something with a tropic tan and all that stuff, and beside her is this unbelievable, hideous monster man. I got a wart-faced buffoon, and he's got a cigar sticking out of his mouth, and his belly looks like he's pregnant, and walking down the valley like that. You think, how in the world did he just knows the right thing to say, or he's got a lot of money. That's what some women do. They marry him because they got a lot of money, hoping he'll die pretty soon, and they can get all that. But the worst thing you can do is fuss at him. You say, well, I tell you, he won't never fix that faucet that's been leaking under that sink for 2 years, and every day when he comes in, I'll let him have it. Well, guess what? He has learned to turn you off. He don't even hear you no more. You say, well, I have no objection. You know what? That's the only way the poor guy can keep his sanity. He has to just learn how to just tune you out. You come in there, you come in the house, you start, he says, I'm going to work overtime tomorrow evening. I tell you what, I can't hardly stand there. I'm telling you, brother, listen, that's the wrong way to do it. I got the Bible says that. Bible said in Proverbs 20, Bible said a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Amen? You say, but he won't do nothing. That's the wrong way to get him. Here, let me show you how to get him to it. Your faucet leaking, here's what you do. He gets home at 3:30, let's say. About 15 after 3, here's what you do. You go in there in the house somewhere, and what you do is you get on the old clothes, put you on some boots, get you a pair of his overalls or something. Grease all over. Get every tool you can find. Lay it out in the house. Lay it out in the kitchen floor. And mess your hair up like this, you know. Fix everything like that, you know. And get up, crawl up under the sink and put a little blood, like a little ketchup or something coming down here. Put blood on your face like that and be laying up. When you hear him coming, get up under there and be going, ding, 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 ding. When he walks in. That's what you got to do. Now, see, you got to do that. What did I do? I fixed it right there. Now, listen. When he walks in, he'll say, what are you doing up under there? At that time, you slide out from under there, and you get up like this, and have a big old monkey wrench in your hand, a screwdriver, and say, I was just trying to help you, honey. Boy, that does it just like it. He says, let me show you how to do that, woman. Give me that screwdriver. This is a man's job. He's determined to show you he can fix that thing. You got him, buddy. He'll fix anything like that. He'll crawl up under there, start tightening up things, fixing them pipes. And they'll say, well, honey, I was just trying to help you. See, that's the way you got to do a man. I know I is one. You lady, you can get anything you want if you play your cards right. I tell you, the last way to get him to do it is fuss at him. Now, he might do it after enough fussing, but you'll have to go through the same thing next month and the same thing next month. I tell you, the weapon you got on your husband's, ladies, is pray for him. Pray the power of God down on him, and God will get a hold of him. Lord rings his bell a time or two, he'll straighten up. Amen? That's right. You see that in the old days, the reason Solomon wrote that verse, in the old days they had roofs 3 inches thick, 4 inches thick, mud roofs. And when it rained real, 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 real hard, it'd take like 2 days, sometimes a hard, steady rain, for water to seep through all that mud. And once it got completely saturated, it'd start dripping on the inside. And they'd put out a pan, and it'd go, ding, 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 ding. And you know the bad part? The bad part is the storm would be over, and the clouds blowed out, and the sun shining the next day, and it'd still be ding, ding, ding. All the men in here understand that. See, you have a little argument, a little disagreement, and she's ding, 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 ding. And see, we think it's over. We think it's settled. I'm sorry. You sorry? Yeah, I'm sorry. Forget it. Let's go to sleep. Forget it! Just forget it. But then the next day, ding, ding, ding. What's wrong? You know what's wrong. That's the wrong way to do it. You can nag with your lips shut. You sure can. Just for that look, you know. You want to pick something to eat?
Yes.
Set your plate down like that. Turn around and walk off. Oh, you can talk a lot without saying anything. Well, I never fuss at my husband. No, you don't say it. Somebody said she nagged him into marriage. She nagged him into buying a house. She nagged him into having kids. She nagged him. And finally it paid off. He was in a car wreck and was in a coma. And after 17 days of nagging, he spoke. Talked him right out of it. There's nothing like a wedding to make a fella learn. At first he thinks she's his'n, but later learns he's her'n. They said one time they had two lines up in heaven. They had one line over here and another line over here. And they said every man that controlled his wife and his family, bossed his family, stand over here. And every man whose wife bossed him around, stand over here in this line. And there's a million men in this line and one fella standing in this line over here all by himself who bossed his house. And they said, what are you doing over there? He said, my wife told me to stand here. That's just one fellow. They said, what makes you think your wife's trying to get rid of you? He said, well, I don't know for sure, but every day this week she's packed my lunch in a road map. All right, let's talk about the right way to be a wife. And I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says because I'm not a woman. I don't know. The Bible said in Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Submit. You know what? Submit is against your nature, ladies. It don't come easy. It's just something you naturally like to do. If you'll admit it, most of you ladies in here have a hard time. Ugh, do I have to do what he says? You know, you don't like it. You say, it's not fair. Who wrote the Bible? Said, we have to do what you say. It is fair. Look, it's just as hard for us to love you enough to die for you as it is for you to submit. God ain't cheating you. You tried loving somebody enough to die for them? It's hard, man. Especially when you're a man and all you think about yourself. It's hard. It's just as hard for a man to love you enough to die for you as it is for you to submit to him. So don't cry about how pitiful you are and you're being persecuted and the Bible ain't fair and all that kind of stuff. Amen? Reverence. The Bible says, let the wife see that she reverence her husband. You want God to bless you as a wife? You reverence your husband. A wife should never make statements like, oh, he's stupid. Don't pay no attention to him. He ain't got no sense. You're ruining your kids by talking like that about your husband in front of them. There's nothing that'll destroy a man's confidence than the woman he loves talking to him like he ain't no count. You say, well, he ain't no count. Well, it ain't your job to say it. I mean, let God take care of him. Don't you ever sit and compare. You say, well, you should be like so-and-so. He does this for his wife. Don't ever do that. You don't see what so-and-so does the rest of the time. Matter of fact, none of us should compare mates with that. I think it's a big, sorry way to treat your husband or wife when you start comparing them with other people. You just see that other person when they're at church or at their best. They got faults too. If you had that other person in about 6 months, you may wish to God you had yours back. Amen. If you'd make up your mind to overlook their faults, that'd be a great blessing. You remember when you couldn't wait to talk to him? Remember when you every car you heard coming up the road, you hoped it was him? Remember when you wanted, everywhere you went, you wondered what he was doing, where he was at, and was he having a good day, and all this kind of stuff? Remember the preacher's words? Remember your honeymoon? The truth is tonight the devil has his guns turned on our home like he's never done it before. He's after our homes. He's after our kids. If he can't destroy our kids, he's after mama or he's after daddy because he knows that's a way to work his way into that home.
Buddy, we're doing good compared to the national average. People out there in the world, they don't even stay married no more. First little conflict they have, bang, bust up. They say in Hollywood now, the marriage is considered a success if the couple leave the church together. I mean, they don't stay no time. We need to make up our mind that, hey, we're going to do it the way God does it. I'll tell you what I want to do tonight, and this could be a long, long series, but I just want to give you just a few little pointers to brush us up on this tonight. What I'd like to ask every husband in here to do tonight is completely and totally forgive your wife of any hard feelings you have toward her. Forget it. Now, I'm not talking about save it and beat her over the head with it tomorrow if she does something else wrong. Once it's forgiven, it's forgotten, and it's over, and I'll have no hard feelings. That's what we want God to do to us. And then I'd like to ask every wife to do the same thing. No hard feelings. Start all over. Yeah, but he'll never learn his lesson if I let him die this time. He ain't going to learn it like that, no way. That ain't no way to teach him. You do what's right, forgive, forget, and go. You say, yeah, but if I just leave him alone, he'll be sorrier than he is now. Well, he ain't going to be no better by fussing at him all the time. That'll drive him away worse. The best thing for us to do is forgive and forget. And don't hold it over their head once you forgive them for something. And start all over again tonight. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.